press. And that almost all be rid of this one. And, that should be a tremendous source of bracha. To be back at Seder, first thing in the morning and learning, right after Yom Tov. So it reminded me of an idea that Rav Alpert points out in his Sefer, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira, so Chazal, so the Baruch Shem, when he records the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer in Parshas Emor, Usvartem Lachem Mimachras HaShabbos, which we will loosely translate as, you'll begin counting after Yom Tov, after the first day of Yom Tov, Miyoimash Habiyachem Es Oimrat Nufa, from the day that you bring the Korban HaOimer. And you'll count Sheva Shabbosos Temimois Teyena, and you'll count 7 complete weeks. So Alpert points out that there are 2 markers that are used for the beginning of the count of Sfira, and which seemingly redundant. Usvartem Lachem Mimachos HaShabbos. Start counting the second day of Pesach. Good. So we know, what is the first day, second day? We're good. Usvartem Lachem Miyoyim HaViyachem Esayim HaTzlufa. From the day that you bring the Korban over. So we know you bring the Korban over after the first day of Pesach. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam identified Mimachras HaShabbos Miyoyim HaViyachem Esayim HaTenufa, that is L'chaira to teach us some, give us some insight into the Sfira. So Rabbi Alpert points out that what the Torah is pointing out to us, what the Torah is addressing, is that we count, there are 2 different counts of time that we have in our lives. We count from events that happen, and we count from events that we have orchestrated. Right? In other words, we count birthdays and we count anniversaries. We count, we celebrate birthdays. Right? And if I was often a question, what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's attitude to a birthday celebration? But that's not our issue right now. Human beings celebrate birthdays, right? Human beings celebrate anniversaries. So those are the two, they're 2 very different kinds of celebrations. Right? Celebration of a birthday, because Baruch Hu decided when you're going to be born. Anniversary is you decided to get married. So the Torah is saying that when people, you think about it, they are, people think about these events differently. Most people, I think, when they think about birthdays, so they don't think in a respective way. But certainly when you're young, right? When it doesn't hit 16 or 17, whatever it is, when can you vote? 18. Okay. So very few hit 18 and say, what have I done for the last 18 years of my life? But they usually say that at 18, well, I have new zechuyos, I have new rights, new responsibilities. A person hits the age when their parents said now they can, I don't know, they can get a cell phone, or they can, whatever it is, or a person can drive. So a person, and that's probably true for later on in life as well, right? There are always people who live with greater introspection and are always asking themselves what they've accomplished. But most people, when it comes to the celebration of a birthday, it's usually, okay, now I've hit this stage. What am I looking at going forward? Right? And if you think about it, when Chazal say, Ben Shloshim Le Chazaka, right? Ben Arbor Lebina, Shvonim Legvurais. So what does Chazal say? That you hit a certain age, So then, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given you certain brachas for the upcoming age. But Narbom Lebina means you've been granted now Bina going forward. When Chazal say Ben Chomish Lemikra, right? Chomish Lemikra. They're also, the Gemara was saying, there's a birthday. You're marking time from a God-given event, and now you're looking at this time as. So now I've accrued certain brachos, certain insights, and now, and therefore it's promising going forward. What's the next? How am I going to engage the next stage? Right? Person feels, right, he goes into midlife crisis, right? So then, so that person probably is looking back and wondering what's happened over here. Whatever. How did he get to where he's gotten right now? But that leads to a crisis, right? A person, it's the only time a person is retrospective. It's not a good thing. Usually, again, we're talking from a human perspective. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying there's a count me machras Shabbos. That count is a very much a forward-looking count, right? Now that I reached the hoyd shem malchus, now I reached the hoyd shem hoyd chesed v'chesed. So what? Now that I've advanced from Pesach. The Yom HaViyachim is Oymer HaTnufa, the anniversary. Again, when one celebrates anniversaries, just think in your own mind. When you've been at either your own anniversaries or your parents, or you've celebrated your parents' anniversaries. Right? So, very rarely have you been to a drasha where you're celebrating your parents' 18th, 20th anniversary, and you say, no. Daddy, mommy, what's going to be the next 18 years? Usually, it is retrospective, celebrating what your parents have accomplished. Right? Person, let's say, has been with an institution for X number of years. Right? So they're honoring the rabbi for 10 years. Right? 20. So very rarely are the drushes new. And then more would ask for what's going to be the next 10, 20 years. Right? Usually, it's. We've accomplished last 10, 20 years. So, just from a human perspective, there are different ways that we celebrate time. So, Albert is pointing out that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you're counting time, understand that you count time differently. And both are of great value. And both become part of the way that we, this kufa of Sfira and Pesach Teshuvos. Right? So we're looking, we're not counting, we're not even discussing the count towards Shavuos. We're focused on the count from Pesach. In Machos HaShavuos. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu is pointing out to us that the count of time as we distance ourselves more and more from Pesach is a two-part count. It's both we're both charting a retrospective look over Pesach that was, we hopefully accomplished something. Very, very, we can start with a little bit of relaxation, right? That's the starting point, right? Hopefully there's much more than that, right? And we could be, we accomplished some amount of family time. Also, davar choshen. Right? But then maybe we've accomplished, maybe we were successful in experiencing a deeper understanding of Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe we were successful in accomplishing a deeper, a more refreshed or a sharper sense of Emunah over the course of Pesach. Maybe we have a greater appreciation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe we don't feel any of that, but we know that it must be there because we spend so much time discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim and focused on matzah. Maybe we focused on the Devar Min HaStorim. Maybe we focused on the anivus of matzah. Whatever it was, whatever our mahalach machshava was in the course of the Yom Tov. So whether we have focused on it having an impact, and whether we know the impact has to be there because that's the nature of people, that's the nature of the neshama. So one count is that as we move away from Pesach, so there was a God-given event. There was time that we spent of miyoyim aviyachim as oimer tenufa. There was a avodas Hashem that we accomplished. So now there's a certain retrospective. You know, so where is that? Where is that? Where did it feed into? What was the mechazah? Right. Well, Chaim Friedlander points out, and he goes back to from the Kadmonim. Revolvi has a similar discussion that the accomplishments of every yomtiv are raising the bar. And we don't expect that at the course of every yomtiv, a person will stay on this, will be able to maintain the same level of ruchnistic accomplishments as he accomplished, whether it was at the Seder, whether it's during a halal, whether it's during Kriyas Yamshuv. We don't expect that. But we expect that a person can expect of himself more. And a person spent the family time, Lil Seder, discussing more lofty things than we normally discuss around the Shabbos table. So we don't expect that every single Shabbos Yom Tov meal is going to be like a Lil Seder. But we know what can happen. So therefore we have to expect more. So the ruchniistic accomplishments of a yomtiv are to show us whether we had a certain hergish during one of the halals, but gaval de gaval tefillah. We were uplifted during. So we don't expect that now going forward we are able to maintain that level of ruchnis, but because the bar has been raised. So we can expect more of ourselves. So that is miyoyim aviyachem es oimer atnufa. That's looking back and saying, so if I got here the day after Yom Tov, and I was here morning during Seder, so that means I accomplished over the course of Yom Tov. Right? It means that I understand that that I can expect more of myself. If, and then there's the other count from the days of Pesach. That's the birthday, right? That's if I have had a Pesach, so that without anything other than having a Pesach, anything more than Mochras HaShabbos, so that empowers me. That gives me certain zechuyas. And if I count from the days of Pesach, so then I attach those days to Pesach. Right, the famous Ramban in Parshas Amor that we're now in a Chol HaMoed. Pesach Teshuvos is a Chol HaMoed. That Ramban says whenever there's a Yom Tov and an Atzeres, so that means the two are connected. So if Shavuos is called Atzeres, it has to be an Atzeres to something. You have to be held back from something. So obviously it's a hold over being held back from Pesach. So now we're in a Chol HaMoed. So the Chol HaMoed has two parts to it. One part is that we've accomplished certain things over the Yom Tov of Pesach. So now, whether it's raising the bar, whether it's a refreshed sense of emunah, some greater connection to Ribono Shel Olam. So that is, and that will have impact as the days go on. We'll be able to build on that. The other is that by being connected to Pesach, so we don't ask, so what have we accomplished? We don't ask ourselves, where is the increased ruchnis? We don't ask ourselves, where is the refreshed sense of emunah? But we do say, Yoy said it's Pesach plus. It's Pesach plus counting, plus Yerushalayim, plus a few days more. So that means that now I should be able to accomplish. To be able to achieve, like a person who's ben chamish l'mikra, right? Ben chamish is saying ben eser l'mishnah, like a person who's ben arbom l'bina, right? So those are the some of the hergeshim that a person has during Sefirah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a set time for Sefirah, so that we don't become overly anxious and overly ruminating, that we have a healthy attitude towards time, we don't have a guilt-ridden approach to time. Kadosh Baruch Hu is created time as a mechayiv around Pesach. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem is a tremendous celebration of time itself around Pesach. The Yom Tov of Pesach begins with a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, celebration of how we mark time, of our ability to have control over time. That was one of the great gifts of being a non-Eved, or being refocused on what Avdus means. That the first gift of a Ben Chorin is to control of his time. The first challenge would often if a person is not used to being in control of time, the first greatest michshol of a person who's now achieved freedom, who didn't have freedom before, is being unstructured and not knowing what to do with their newly found gift of having determine what they're going to do with their time. The reason that people often crave different forms of abdus, what I mean is people often crave, the human, Yaakov Moshe writes, that we normally think that the human being craves freedom. He thinks the human being craves abdus. The human being craves structure. He craves being told. The person would love to be told to be put on an escalator, and say, just follow the following instructions, and you'll make it to the top of the Empire State Building, right? We would love to be able to have instructions how to succeed, how to become Talmid Chacham, how to become whatever we want to become. We crave a certain sense of being. Of being directed. I have you understand, but the blessings of Chavrus comes with a huge and something that's frightening Achrayas. So the very, very first Shlav Aleph of whatever this happened, Abdus to Chavrus, Abdus to Abdus, is you're going to control your own time. That's what often frightens people and what drives people batty. Just like there are people who get driven to great stress because they over schedule, over ruminate about time, overly active about time. There are people who are driven to distraction because they just don't know what to do with all the time. So that's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Achodesh Alechem Yom Tov Pesach." And that's why there's so much focus on the usage of time. Achodesh Lechem, you are in control of how you define your time. Svartim Lechem Yachas Shabbos, you are in control of how you will mark and measure time. Know that as a human being, you're going to measure and mark time in different ways. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, so now that you know, you can structure your own time, you can identify your own time, you'll measure your own time. So now, think about it. So now, use those tools in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is this focus on the usage of time in and around Pesach. So one of the ideas that we can draw from the way that the Torah defines the counting of time is that human beings will count time in different ways. So therefore, as an Eved Hashem, so we now address both of those countings. Both the count, and they're both countings from. There's another form of counting, counting to. The Torah doesn't not address the Pasuk over here, but both in the counting from. There's a counting from that creates an achrayas to be able to account for what one has accomplished over a period of time, retrospective, and there is a counting from that gives an achrayus of empowering a person. What do I expect from the upcoming? I'm connected to Pesach. So where do I see my connection to Pesach has enriched my life? And where do I see my connection to Pesach is now going to empower and give me greater kavanos going forward? And b'derech klal, we look at different people look at things in different ways, and depending on one's koiches and nefesh, well, we'll look at it in different ways. But b'derech klal, we look at it in small, achievable chunks, small achievable accomplishments. Again, which means that person, at the very least, looks at whatever happened over Pesach, and in a small, achievable, measured way, tries to figure out how can one make that accomplishment, both be held accountable for it, and both how one will build on it going forward. Each one in their own ways. It could be in the course of family connectedness, the Dover Choshevat Moed. It could be in one's certain areas of Avodas Hashem. When one's in the yeshiva, hopefully that's also in terms of one's learning, in terms of so that the achrayus in terms of Baba Kama would mean also a two-pronged approach in the going forward. Over the course of the Yom Tov, I read a very sobering study. It was done many years ago, probably 30 years ago. It was a study that was done in the secular public school system, public or private system, I'm not sure, where they measured the accomplishments of students on the standardized tests over the course of their middle school career. And the first study was done to track the success of various students from different backgrounds. That was done probably any time, probably beginning with the 60s. But then I forget who it was who decided to study the growth of the scores per school year. In other words, instead of just giving the tests at a random time during the year, but a random but consistent time during the year, to measure growth, he decided to give the scores both in September and in June over the course of several years. And the result of the study was that you could account for the growth, the vast majority of the growth of any student from, let's say, 6th grade through by 9th grade. The vast majority of the growth was measurable only through the school year and took a very significant drop over the course of the summer break. In other words, it was this constant accomplishment and then the backtracking. And a constant backtracking. And if you measured the, I think if you measured the September scores for you, you'd see very, very, very little growth. If you measure the June scores, that's where you'd see the significant growth. Right? The thinking being that if the kids would be in school over the course of the summer, then you would not have this backsliding. Right? In other words, the understanding was that we're investing tremendous effort in continuously picking up for the backsliding that happens over the course of the summer. And there was a program, and it's still around, there was a program in one of the inner city schools that was built around keeping the kids in the school most of the summer. And then it was further theorized, and some studies showed this, that the accomplishments of the students who came from the stronger neighborhoods was mostly because their significantly greater advance over the students from the poorer neighborhoods was primarily accountable for what they did during the summer. They were more challenged during the summer. But why is this important for us? Because it is a frightening and sobering study as to how one can have ben hazmanim could have a very negative effect on our learning. And so that doesn't mean that people don't need breaks, don't need to relax. It does mean that we are probably losing and backsliding very, very significantly in our learning over the course of lengthy times of ben hazmanim. No reason to assume that those findings should not be relevant for all of us. And when we think about the difficulty of recall that we have after ben hazmanim, so then it would certainly support this idea. So again, halacha l'maase, it doesn't mean that people don't need downtime. But it does mean that when Chazal said that im tazveini yom ezovcha yomayim, when Chazal said that if you ignore me for a day, then you're going to lose 2 days, so Chazal were very much aware of the studies that were going to take place in the late 1900s. In other words, that emphasis of the way the human mind works, that the significance of backsliding when we're not in contact with something. So halacha l'maase, it means that in the upcoming tkufa, so we have the opportunity to continue to deepen our understanding of Bava Kamma, to be able to both review the dafim that we've learned and the shitas that we learned and the sugyas that we learned, but also to build on what we've learned. And the more that we dedicate ourselves in the upcoming time and beat the Bava Kamma fatigue, the more that we beat the sense of and we've seen this, we've done this. So the greater success we'll have in making the kinyan on the sugyas of Bava Kamma. Right? So, for example, again, this is a two-pronged pitch. One is the importance of investing ourselves in the chazara of what we learned in the last few weeks and in the beginning of the school year. That one cannot overemphasize the value of chazara. And even if one feels comfortable, so the overstudying, when Chazal said, "In the doyim of mi shalemid meyot ba'achavim," The Misha Loimed Meyopamim. So as we're pointing out, another Chazara will have a tremendous impact. That's number one. And it's a matter of Bava Kama being a building block in one's understanding of Torah Bechlal. So that can't be overemphasized. But in addition, the longer that one is able to stay connected to Bava Kama, the longer one can have a Seder in the Masechta. It's May, June. So that will have tremendous impact in your accomplishments within Bava Kama. Marshall, if we would revisit the sugya of Shmira, we would find that we'd be able to address the sugya with much greater depth right now. And that's true about Bnei Sugya. Shmira in particular, because we're continuously building more and more on that. So that's the double pitch, is to review and to try to beat the natural fatigue of being in the same Masechta for so long. It'll give tremendous payers the more you're connected with Bava Kama going forward. I would advocate once again that you'll gain tremendously if you learn the Mishnayos of Bava Kama, certainly if you learn the Mishnayos, the first six parakim and the eighth parak. I would strongly encourage, if you learn Hilchos Nizkei Mamon of the Rambam from beginning to end, you'll see it. You'll just feel a tremendous hergish of accomplishment, of understanding. The lights that will go on as you go through it will be, you'll be very, very encouraging. And again, there are just more opportunities of different ways of reviewing. So I want to complete our learning on a high. So I'm going to do two things, both as to chazer as well as to do the sugya of Eishim Mishum Chitza, heads check. And Eishim Mishum Amoinai, the sugya in and of itself is of great importance. And the Muke Yosefs of the sugya are so oft quoted that it would not be right to leave Bava Kama without seeing the comments of the Mukhe Yosef. So, Mirat Hashem, we will do both. It'll be a little bit of learning the sugya in order to be able to learn the Mukhe Yosef together. But first, let's look at the at least outline the important markers of the sugya. So today, let's look at the. The overall picture of the sugya itself, and identify what we need to understand. Itzmar, the sugya is raised of Eishim Mishum Chetzei or Eishim Mishum Mamoinai Rishlagish of Yechanan, is raised in the context of a kelev shenotel charora. Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish argued as to how we understand the underlying mechayim of the Ob of Eish. All right, the question itself is how it has to be understood. What's bothersome about the question of Mishlokish and Rabbi Yechon? What's unnerving, what's surprising with the question? No, Beryl.
Why is there like a tam given for Eish when all the avos don't have that?
We open up the Masechta of Arba Avos Nezikin. So we don't have a machlekes v'echon shlokish av bor mishum av shein v'regel mishum. We have understood from the very beginning there are four avos. There were four categories. In the very beginning, we've understood either that each one of them are machayiv on their own, right? The Rashi's of the first Masechta, the first sugya. Oh, we've understood that the machayiv is that they are yours, your creation, your acquisition, which we also know lecha. And then there are four different categories in that overall machayiv, right? Malach of the Briskero, Machleik is Rashi in the Rish. So, how are we going to understand Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, who now seemingly want to understand Eish along the lines of other Rabbis? Right?
Can it just be the same question? Meaning for other ones, it's maybe clearer if it's Mammon or if it's a Shmira.
Yeah.
And Eish is the one that's not clear. So that's what they're asking.
So, again, so what you're saying is that you're taking the position that every Av has an underlying Machayev, and you're taking the position that some underlying Machayevim are Mammon, and some underlying Machayevim are Shmira, right? And now you want to know where Eish fits. Right? So, but there are many, many indications that the underlying Machayev of all of the Avos are Mishum Shmira. Like the approach that you're going to take, which I'm not disqualifying, I'm just pointing out that the approach you're taking is saying that the Machayev of Adam Mazik is Shmira, and the Machayev of Mamon Mazik is Mamon. Again, one could marshal support for that because the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph said Adam Mazik Shmirasei Olav. All right, one could, but l'chor that is entirely counterintuitive to say that Adam and Mazik is a chiv shmira and Mamon and Mazik is a mechayim shemamon. Let's hold that for a moment. Right? Even if your analysis is correct, so it still is, even if it's maybe not surprising, but it's still, we have to understand, there's still a huge chiddush in what you're saying, that Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan are explaining to us that we should reorganize the Avos along four different, or five or six, or 24. Right? We should now, with the exact opposite direction, we'll organize them around the two other principles. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I thought it's not just the Shmira Mammon split up, but a Mammon Gufo split, like Adam Amazik and Mammon Amazik.
Okay.
The other Avos are Avos Mazik and are Mammon Amazik, but Eish has this
right. So good. So it's not a question, I'm not looking at Shmira versus Mammon, we're looking at Gufoi versus Koicha. Alright? And we're rephrasing Gufoi is Momin and Koyche is Chitza, which is should be troublesome. But even if one goes down that road, which again, I'm not disqualifying, but you're pointing out that what it sounds like you're saying is that I really could put the Av of Eish under two other categories. And it's, once again, it's a question of, you ask almost, where does Eish fit? Where does Eish fit? Eish doesn't have to fit. Eish is Eish, right? So what's the Gemara asking? Eish and Mishub. What's Rish Lakish and Yechanan? What concerns them? So the Gemara says that was a machlekes of Yechanan Rish Lakish. Eish and Mishum Chitza, Eish and Mishum Mamoinai. With Rabbi Yechanan saying Mishum Chitza. Right? Now when we say Chitzav, so we understand that to mean Koichai. That as Rashi says, Chive Yakosuv, the Ko'ovid Havi Kizari Chetz. Mishumavoyne Kishori Uborishi Zikoi. So it sounds like that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that Eish is Koyach Adam, and Mashlokish is saying No, Eish is another form of Momena Mazik. So Gemara says, and that's what it seems, and that has to raise for us the question, why are we reanalyzing the Torah's of Eish? Gemara says, Veshlokish my time loy omer kib yechanan. Omalacha heats of mikoche kaozle. Hai lav mikoche kaozle. Kib yechanan my time loy omer kib yechlokish. Omalacha mamoina is ve mamosha or less ve mamosha. What's bothersome about this, these three lines? Yeah. No?
It's negative. It's positive. Why did they say
so one problem is, so why is the Gemara saying, what's the Svara of Rabbi Yechanan? Now when the Gemara asks, so why did Rabbi Yechanan say Rosh Chodesh? So what does it seem to mean? What would that seem to imply? No? What did it imply? So that would be, that is a possible conclusion, but it would be very hard to imagine that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I need to reorganize the Omeis Melochis by default. So leave it alone, don't reorganize. No? What is he? So the Gemara says, my time will loy Omar. So what's the Gemara saying? Rabbi Yechanan, why do you say Rish Lakish? No? So what would that sound like?
Rish Lakish is being mechad or something. By default, he would have to look at Rabbi Yochanan, and instead, he's deviating from that and holding it himself.
So why do you use the word by default? Why don't you say that? If I ask you why you didn't say like Rabbi Yechanan, that means that it would make more sense to say, you must have a reason. Right? That means Rabbi Yechanan, I can explain Rabbi Yechanan. Right? So the Gemara seems to be saying, Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish both have excellent svaras. Each one is a very, very defensible svara. Each one could easily be taken, could be employed. I need to have an understanding of why you didn't take, not out of default. Right? Again, whatever you're saying is technically a way to read the Gemara. But Lachaira, it's very hard to read the Gemara to say that the only reason we have somebody said, no, forget it. Apparently each one had a compelling reason that we can well understand of why you would want to reorganize the others. What's difficult is that we have two very, very reasonable, attractive, logical ways of reorganizing Eish. We don't understand is why you would force you to choose one svara over the other. But both are very powerful and self-understood svaras. Right? What makes that difficult? No, the very end of Chav Beis Amid Beis, we'll get in a moment, Omer Rava, Kura Umas Nisa Misayei Aleile Rabbi Yechanan. Right? So Rava says that I could easily bring a Svara Apostle for Rabbi Yechanan. So is that, Rava is not saying this was Rabbi Yechanan's Mahalach, right? So why didn't Rabbi Yechanan argue? Kara umas nisa.
Because the svara is stronger.
So that's a chiddush to say that the svara is. You're saying the svara is more compelling. The kara could be okay.
Gemara says a perish.
Right. That the one can be.
Svara stronger than a pasuk.
The Gemara is. Well, I hear what you're saying. Okay, but. Okay. Right, the only horror I would make is that in this case the Gemara says that both svaras are equally compelling. Right, so in that case it would seem to make more sense to bring a krah. Right, now, then the Gemara says, why are we discussing this in Chav Beis Amin Aleph? Right, so Gemara says, because we just had the Mishnah, HaKelev Shenotel Charora. Right, so what's the context? Mishnah says, HaKelev Shenotel Charora V'olech Lagodish. The dog grabs one of the burning pieces of chametz, an erev Pesach. Shenotel charora, ve'olach ligdish, and charged into somebody's field that was mamish, ready for tziras ayin. Right. So ochal hacharora, the dog wanted to show that everything is nothing, which is nifsal mechilas kalev. And tell the rabbis, you got it all wrong. We eat anything. So ochal charora, and he ate this charcoal, piece of charcoal. Right? The idlik agodish, and he burned down the field. Ala charora misham nezek shalom. So your dog ate somebody else's chametz before this man Isir. So it still had some value to it, apparently. Nezek sholem, right? Ala godish mishalem chatzi nezek. But chatzi nezek on the gedish, right? So l'chorvi the gedish is eish, right? That he's paying nezek sholem necharora, totally unremarkable, that's shame. Right? Like you can figure out whether it's darkoi, not darkoi, where was the fire, was the fire? He said, work out halacha, so it works out. That's nezek sholem. That's not a remarkable chiddush right now, and you had to chaf alef and beis mamakam. However, Gemara says this animal is doing eish, so now the animal is being held responsible for the. It sounds like that the bala kelev is being held responsible for the fire. So Gemara says, isn't this going to be a raya? Tanan, a kelev shenotel charora, bishul manda omreishim mishum chitza, according to Rabbi Yechanan. So everything's good. Why? Because we've just learned the sugya of chati nezek tzeres. No, it's kavaldik. So that's koichai shel behema, pays chati nezek. So now the Rabbi Yechanan says that Eish Mishum Chit. So when you look at Eish, you're looking at Koichai. So now we're looking at Koich Shal Kelev. Gevaldik pays Lamat. He should be paying Chatzin Nezek on the Gedish. Gevaldik. Ella Lamat Eish Mishum Moinai. Ha Yeish Lav Moinai Dibal Kelevu. So now when it comes to Eish, if Eish is Mishum Moinai, so that means you always look at Eish as Momen Amazik. So now my Kelev took somebody's burning Chometz, which he was probably Mafkim already when he put it into the fire. So if Eish is Mishum Momen, so who's Chai for the Eish? Mala Kelev shouldn't be Chai for anything. So I'm Rishlagish. Oh, what's he done? The Aduye, Aduye. Dal charora mishalem nezek, val mokim kachelas mishalem chatzi nezek, val gedish kuloi poter. So Rishlokish is enachanami. Everything he said is correct. So we have to explain what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant that when the kelev took the coal and put the coal towards on somebody's wheat, that's when you're chayev chatzi nezek. But what's called eish, that the fire now kept on going, koichai was the dog taking the ember, the hot embers and burning. That's koichai shel kelev, the chatzi nezek. Eish, that it went further than chanami. Right. So what's the nafkamina between Rav Yechon and Shlokish? Right. So both have good pshat in the Mishnah. Right? Correct. Both have shot in the Mishnah. But now we have enough committed between the two tzedakim. So why are we discussing it right now? Because once we learn the Mishnah of Akel Shan Harara, we have two different pshatim in what the halacha is. The fire which the dog started. Right? Whatever you want to say, take 10 feet away, doesn't really matter. At some point, we know it's no longer the place where the dog put the hot embers. No. Nope. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, the ensuing fire, the entire Godesh is going to be a koichai shel kelev, a chatzin as a kshoris, baal a kelev as chayev. The dog, the owner of the dog, should have been watching over this dog. And he's chayev, for chatzin as a kshoris. Chiddush. Koichai shel kelev. And according to Rish Lakish, his eishai is mishum amoynai. So, the no one is chayiv. There is no person chayiv in this fire. Because there's no mumin amazik over here. Right? Because the mumin is my dog. No. My dog after... my mumin doesn't have mumin. So when my mumin created an eish, a potter. Right? The guy who owns the charara, he didn't put it there. He's not responsible. And the guy who put it there is not Mamoine. So we haven't have a nafkamina, our first nafkamina between the two tzedakim. Right? So what I'm trying to understand is, now that we have a nafkamina, what have we defined when we said Eshem Shem Shem Chomot? Right? We have a machlaikas. The troublesome part of the machlaikas is it sounds like we're redefining always. No, who needs that? But now that we have a nafkamina, we should be able to say, well, what were they really defining? What are they arguing about? No, go ahead. Yoni.
So is Rabbi Yochanan understanding this case like how it was in Bor Mescalgal, that like it's two together, where the dog is coming along and damaging that because of shore, and then comes the charar that he's holding, and that we know from Eish is Koach Hakela?
Correct.
So it's a combination, and according to Rish Lakish, it's not even
H. According to Rish Lakish, it is not H. It is not H that I'm chayav on. Yeah. It is H, but H without it's an ownerless H, and therefore there's no mechayav. Therefore, the address of the chayav of H is off the road. There is no address in English. It's the caliph.
Right.
Alright? If I define Ash as chitza, then it's chitza shel caliph, and I'm chayav v'chad and it's If I define Ash as mamoin, then there's no baal hamomim to be chayav over here. Baal caliph is not, I'm not chayav for my caliph's moment, and the owner of the charara is not chayav because he didn't do anything with it. We still have to figure out, though, exactly what do we define over here. All right? But let's go a little bit back to the sugya. Then the sugya discusses another mission of Gomelton, Pishon of Ovir Rishus Rabim. And in order for this not to be part of the machlekes, we are moikim to be misachseches. And this sugya is the sugya of Gomel Tom Fishin is taken out to be not part of the sugya of Mamoides. The Gemara has different cheshbonos. The leibor le lafushi b'teina, the leibor le nuche neira meibroi. Toshma hamadlik es hagodish v'hoya gidi kofos loy ve'eved somach loy v'nisrafay. Gemara says then Reuven sets fire to Shimon's field. In addition to the field, there is the fire takes a goat and takes an eved. Right? So now the Gemara says that there's ritzicha. So the Gemara says that hayagidi kafos the eved samochloi, if the ritzicha was self-inflicted by the eved, that's not ritzicha. Gidi kofus, that means extra moment of mazik. So the Gemara says that in the event that the Eved could have run and didn't run, so then the person, whoever has set the fire is going to be chayiv, not only for the Gidish, but for the Gidi as well. However, Ovid kofus loy, if the Eved was pinned down, and therefore the Gemara says there is a chiyav ritzicha here, so then the madlik is going to be potter because of kol le ramine. Bishleim lemandar meishem shem chitzav mishem hachi potter lemandar meishem shem amaynai and my potter ilu kotal turi abda achanem lemachayim. Mara says according to Rabbi Yechon, then once again Yechon gets the preferential treatment. According to Rabbi Yechanan, everything's good because Eishim Shem Chitzai, and a person who does Ritzicha to Chitzai is Chayiv. A person who Reuven shoots an arrow to Shem and kills Shem, that's Chayiv. No, so then I understand the sugya. But if Eishim Shem Amoinai, so there's no Kol Raminei, if Reuven's shore kills Shimon, he's not Chayiv Ritzicha. There's no Kol Raminei. Omlacha Rav Shimon Lakish Hacha Mayaskina Nenachanam. I have to do an akimtov here. Kishesitzes v'gufoy shel eved. This is not this age is not your classic hamadlik. This is when Reuven Rachman Atzlan takes the fire and actually puts the eved on fire. He puts the eved on fire and he ruins the gedish. The Gemara says no, but there's a chiddush then. I don't need admission. There's a chiddush of gedid echad, eved echad. There's a chiddush that kol raminei is potter even if there are two different addresses. Reuven's eved, Shimon's eved, and Levi's gedid. Right. So again, the Gemara says that there will be a nafka mina ledina between the two malchim. Whether if there's an eved kofos, is that considered to be a ma'aser v'tzicha or not? If it's mishum chitzav, Ma'aser v'tzicha, kol raminei. If it's momen, it's not a ma'aser v'tzicha, and therefore no kol raminei. So two nafkaminas, Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. Toshma hasheleach esa be'ir b'yanchei reshete v'katan. Right. So here the Gemara has a kimtas that. Again, we'll be making this switch in different ways. Gemara says, Omer Rav, the next part of the sugya. So we have three possible rayas, three akimtas. Next part of the sugya is Omer Rav. Can we bring rayas for Rabbi Yechanan? Again, the preferred treatment for Rabbi Yechanan. Right? Omer Krok, Yisei Tzayesh, Yisham Mamar Yisabeir, Shmamina Eishim Yishum, Chetziyai. Masnisa also bringing a raya. Okay. Amar Rava. Then Rava says, Kasha Leila Baya. The Manda Amar Ishim Shem Chetziyai. Tomun Be'esh Tepotar Achmona Hechim Vishkachasla. When will there ever be Tomun Beish? What's the kasha? What's Rava's kasha? When we learn Eish, what is the distinguishing feature of Eish? Tomun. Chiddush of Eish is that if there's something hidden under the Giddush, you're not Chayifa. So there, Omer, Rava, kasha, Levaya. Vaya is the kasha. According to Rav, according to Rabbi Yechanan, when will there ever be a din of Tomon? It's Onu HaMazik. Onu HaMazik is Chayim Mishum Tom. Onu HaMazik is Chayim Mishum Rashi Mishum Onus Mishayge. When will there be a din of Toman? Right? He says, well, when it's no longer koichai. I set a fire to A, A set a fire to B. So the Gemara says, Hachin gilinami kolichot. Elman de islam is ella. Now the Gemara says, Elman de islam vishum chesyai, islam vishum amaynai. Gemara says, no, it can't. In other words, because it was a din of Toman, so therefore I have to say that Rav Yechon holds both. So the Gemara says, if Yechon is like Mishum Chetzei, so what's the Nafkemina? L'chayve v'arbo d'var. Is he chayev as Odom HaMazik? Right? So the Gemara says now that if I hold Rav Yechon, who says, show you the cheat sheet on the sugya is a Tosfos. That's Tosfos. My Beinayu. And Chol Gamon Aleph. Versus My Beinayu, what's the Nafkamina? Gemara is having Mitzvah and Beinayu. What do you mean? We know what the Nafkamina is. We know, number one, this is the Sikkim of the sugya. Kelev Shanot Lacharvara Anchenuche Begodish, Lev Yechon Misham Al Shara Godish, Chatzi Nezek. Three nafkaminas. What are the three nafkaminas? Nafkamina number one is it a kelev shenot l'charvara? Are you responsible for the ensuing for koychei shel kelev? Nafkamina number two is when chayev for Ritzicha Sa'evet, if one did not put fire, if one didn't torch the Evet himself, right? And number three, Tomon, without, of Eish, Helecha Shalei Kol Lechetzia. Right? The first two, Rabbi Yechon is the more Machmer because he holds his own Mazak, and the third, he will be Machayv Tomon only when it's it's only hecha shaloi kolu chetzio. Then we'll say that there's eish in the tom. So three nafkaminas. Right, and now the Gemara says a fourth nafkamina. Gemara tastes a kippur. Why do we need a fourth nafkamina? We have four nafkaminas. That according to Yechanan, when will be chayiv ka'on mamazek on arba dvarim. Right, so now. The question, now I understand, what is the Gemara's kasha? I had the two shitas, I have four nafkaminas. What have I defined, though? And I know that Rabbi Yechanan really holds both Mishum Momin and Mishum Chetzi. That also is why I would not disqualify, but I wouldn't, I'm not satisfied with the Mahalach of Effi and or of Eli. Because in the end, the Gemara of Yechon holds both. And even, but because Rabbi Yechanan holds is not only Momin, it's also Onam HaMazik, therefore there are going to be three Nafkaminas. Rabbi Yechanan, because he holds is also a form of Onam HaMazik, so therefore, because he holds, it's a form of Koichai. So therefore, there can be koychei shel kelev, which Rabbi Yechon Rishos can't have because he only holds a mamon. Because he holds also koychei, therefore there can be a ritzeyach, which Rabbi Yechon Rishos will not be ritzeyach unless one torches the heaven. And because it's also koychei, so when he's chay for tamen, whereas Rabbi Yechon Rishos is not chay for tamen. Right. So now kod rokush l'duchta. What is the question that Rabbi Yechon Rishos are answering? What's the mishum? What's the yisayin of the sugya? What do they need to understand? Why isn't it, there's a new Av called Eish HaMazik, and it's got nothing to do with, it's not Koychai, and therefore Kelev that sets fire would not be Chai of anything at all. Right? And if a Reitzeach uses Eish, no. It's like mom and a mazik. It's a new ov. Right, that's what we'll explain tomorrow to Shem. He'll work on it tomorrow. What is the question they're really asking? All right? Good.